Today we're going to focus on one psalm, and I have no idea whether you have read that psalm before, but for those who have read that psalm before, it will be great that you can actually recite the verse with me, okay? Just one verse, actually. And I want you to memorize it. Actually, it's quite a very short and concise and a very meaningful verse, okay? And some of you may actually experience this yourself. Well, let's read the verse together. And it's directly from Psalm 71, verse 18, okay? And if you have the Bible, you can turn to Psalm 71, 18. If you don't have it, just look at the screen, and we're going to read it together, okay? It's a very simple psalm, okay? There could be a different version. It could be the North American version. It could be the New International Version. It could be the New Living Standard, okay? So it doesn't matter, but you're going to read it together with me, okay? One, two, three. Oh God, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Now, when we actually read this particular verse, do you think the psalmist is actually old, supposed to be a senior? Do you think the psalmist is actually a senior? No. So they're exactly like you and I. How many claim yourself being a senior? None of you, right? Except probably one or two. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it's not being gray hair means senior. Am I correct? You have gray hair. How many of you have gray hair already? How many? There you go. You're not a senior. Am I? Okay, so today we're going to focus on young, being young, but we're going to get old, okay? Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you bless the entire Mississauga Christ Life Community Church and each and every one of us who understand the truth, and the truth will set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going to focus on this particular verse together. And remember, today our focus is on two words. Number one, it's prayer. Number one is prayer. The psalmist is praying the fact that God should not and will not and will never forsake him, even when you're getting old. That is the prayer. And the second word I want you to focus is to praise. Is to praise. Praise God. Now remember, most of the time, where do you praise God? Do you know where do you praise God most of the time? Where? Anywhere, right? But most of the time, do you praise God anywhere? Praise the Lord. Let's have a hand for this young man here. Praise God. Praise God for his anywhere, okay? Anywhere. How many of you actually praise God anywhere? Can I see some hand anywhere? See, not that many, unfortunately. So I would say most time we praise God in a church. Am I correct? In a church. Yeah. But when you say anywhere, you are exceptional. And praise God for you. Praise God. You, because not many people praise God anywhere. Honestly speaking, I would say out of 100 Christians, our 100 Christians, most of them praise God in the church, I would say. But when they're outside the church, I can almost tell you not many people praise God. But today, after today's sermon, I want you to follow the example of this brother. Okay? Praise God anywhere. Make sense? Praise God anywhere. So from prayer to praise. Now, a lot of people are actually concerned about, I don't know why, okay, there you go. The psalmist prayer, and oh God, don't forsake me, okay? And I really appreciate our sister's hymn this morning. And most of the wording in that hymn is about God never forsake us, never forsake us. How many of you claim that God will never, never forsake his people directly from the Bible? How many of you agree with that truth? Can I see some hand agree? Agree that God will never forsake his people. Okay, how many of you claim that? Can I see some hand? Okay, not that many. unfortunately not done. How many would say, no, God did forsake his people in the Bible? He did forsake his people. Can I see some hand? He did forsake him. None of you guys, okay? So now let me give you another analogy, okay? God is omnipresent. Omnipresent means, as you said, he's everywhere. And he will not, by the way, forsake you. But I'm telling you one serious fact, okay? God will withdraw his presence from you once in a while. Let me repeat. God will withdraw his presence from you once in a while. Why would I say that? Now, I'll just give you a good example. Joseph. Okay? Joseph was being betrayed by his brothers. Okay? And then, when he was being betrayed by his brother, he was actually sold to Egypt. And in Egypt, he was actually seduced by Potiphar's wife. Remember? And then he was being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then he was put in jail. Now, during these two scenarios, God withdrew his presence from Joseph. There's no justice. You cannot see any justice in Joseph's life. There's no justice. But did Joseph complain? Did he complain about God? Did he say, Lord, why are you doing this? Why me? Did he ever complain? Okay? So what I'm trying to tell you is, despite of 9/11, now we just passed 9/11 last week, okay? Despite 9/11, there's about over 3,000 Americans died in that incident, okay? And I heard so many family members, they didn't have one word of complaint against the Lord taking away the wife, the husband, the children. Now, the other scenario I'm telling you is at the life of Job. Remember Job, okay? One day, he lost 3 sons and 3 daughters. And he lost all his possession. And he lost all his properties. And only left with what? His wife. And his wife asked him to desert his faith. Desert from your Lord. Don't believe in him. He's not worthy to be your Lord. He's taking everything away from you. But you know what Job said? Now, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. Job said, God gives and he takes away. And his name is to be praised. His name is to be praised. So, I'm telling you right now, your spiritual life will never rise above your prayer life. And your prayer life will never rise above your praise life. Let me repeat. Your spiritual life will never rise above your prayer life. If you don't pray, you don't even get close to God. But if you don't praise, then your prayer is like an elementary life. It is just the beginning of your spiritual maturity. So your prayer life will never rise above your praise life. Okay? So as this brother said, your praise should not only confine in the church. We should praise God everywhere. Thank you very much. Okay? Oh God, don't forsake me. Now, on the other hand, the word forsake means leaving us. Okay. Now, what if we sin against God? What if we actually done something wrong? Would God ever forsake his people, even if we sin against him? No? Yeah. Now think about Adam and Eve, okay? They sinned against God, okay? But God actually prepared salvation for them. And then from Adam and Eve all the way to the new world and the new heaven, God has never forsaken his people. So why would the psalmist prayed that when I'm getting old, when I'm getting old, don't forsake. Why would he say that? I mean, does it make sense? If we already know that God never, never forsake us, why would the psalmist actually pray that don't forsake us? Why? Okay, listen carefully. The three reasons why God never forsake his people. Number one, you don't need to open a Bible. I'll just read that verse for you. Before the creation of this world, you are chosen by God, okay, to be redeemed and also to praise him. Your reason of creation is to praise him. Before the creation of the world, you are chosen. Okay? So his purpose on you, okay, is the fact that we are chosen. He never forsake us. Number two, God's promise. John 14, verse 18. Now that's before he was crucified. He was crucified supposed to be on Friday, the Good Friday. And that was Thursday, okay? He was praying to God, I will never leave you as an orphan, and I will come to you. That's what he said. I will never leave you as an orphan, I will come to you. That's his promise. Number three, God's priority. Matthew 10:10. Now, he said that a sparrow is worth a penny. A sparrow is worth a penny. Back then, a sparrow was worth a penny. Okay? But without God's permission, not even one sparrow will fall to the ground. Without his permission, okay? Not even one sparrow will fall to the ground. And he said, you are worth way more than many sparrows. And even the very hair on your head is numbered. Now, how much hair that you have on your head? How much hair? How much? Do you know how much hair? How much? According to the biology or whatever, do you know how much hair that you have? How much? Billion? Million? That's too much. That's a little too much. How much hair, maybe? On your head, how much? Hey? Hey? Yeah, around half a million or less than half a million. It's not that much, okay? Maybe the lady. Are you the lady? Then you probably have more. But I don't think it's a million. But it's about half 500,000 maybe, okay? But what I'm trying to tell you is hair, not your. Of course, if you're including a body hair, maybe you're right. Maybe. It's all numbered, but I'm talking about on your head, okay? All right? And unfortunately, we as male, we're losing that, right? We're losing that. So even the number of your hair that God already knows, so he will not forsake us. Okay? So three things. Number one, it's a God's purpose on you. Number two, his promise. Number three, and his priority on you. Okay? 3P that you remember. Now, so as we concern is, what are some of the concerns about getting old? When you're getting old, what are some of the concerns, by the way? When you're getting old, you know some of the concerns? Do you know the very first thing that you might lose when you're getting old? You know what? You know, hey? Wow. Have you read my sermon already? Oh my God. My gosh. I mean, this is so coincidental. You lost memory. Now before I said that, I'm going to test your memory and see how you guys are doing, okay? I'm going to name 10 items, and you're going to memorize these 10 items. Number one, pencil. Think about pencil, okay? Number two, think about it. Elevator. Number three, traffic light. Now, I want you to remember in sequence, okay? Number four, table. Number five, star. Number six, beer. Number seven, heaven. Okay, heaven. Number eight, think about it. Number eight, race car. Number nine, cat. Number 10, bowling ball. Okay? Now, these 10 items. Now, this is to test whether you lost memory, okay? This is extremely important, and it's part of the sermon too, by the way. Okay? And think about it. What is number one again? two? Number three? Who's that traffic light? Thank you. Number four? Table. Very good. Five? Huh? Star? Who said star? Thank you. Star. Number six. Beer. Seven. Eight. Race car. The next one. Cat. The last one. That's the easy one. What is it? Congratulations! You guys are not senior. You guys are excellent. Now think about it. You have a good memory. You didn't have loss of memory. But I'm telling you, my mother-in-law, who's 86 years old, I have brought her to church every single Sunday. And today, of course, I gave the opportunity to my sister-in-law who did it. But okay, every single time when I arrive at her door, okay, she always called me Philip. That's my first name, Philip. But for the last 6 months, when she opened the door, she said, Who are you? She didn't even recognize me. And yesterday I went to her house. She opened the door. She looked at me. Oh, are you Matthew? But I've been with her for over 35 years. And I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, you believe in Christ for many years, okay? But one day, when you're getting old, there's chances. It's not that God forsake you. The chances you will forsake God. You'll forget about Him. Why? The loss of memory, unfortunately. And that's a reality. That is reality. And she didn't recognize who am I. She called me Matthew. And for the last 6 months, she didn't even know who am I. Okay? But she will go to the bathroom. She's actually very healthy. She's a healthy lady, by the way. Healthy. She eat a lot. We brought her to a Japanese cuisine. She ate so much sushi. She's a very healthy lady. But she lost memory. So I'm going to tell you, realistically, I have to congratulate you remember all these items. By the way, do you know how to remember all these items? Do you know how to remember it? Yeah. Okay, by mnemonic. Do you know what mnemonic is? Anyone know what mnemonic is? It's by association. It's to associate each item with a number, okay? One, pencil. Two, elevator. Three, traffic light. How many lights in traffic light? Three. How many legs of a table? Four, right? How many arms in a star? Okay. How many beer bottle in a case? How many? Six. Okay. What rhyme with seven? Okay. And what does the race car track looks like? An A side usually. Okay. And how many lives a cat have? Okay. How many pins in a bowling ball alley? See? So you remember that. That's by association. But however, when we're getting old, even that we forgot. So now what happened is there's a very famous person in the Old Testament that he lost memory. Now let's read it together. Together, okay? One, two, three. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God. He lost memory of God, as the heart of David his father had been, for Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of Sidonius, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully, as David his father had done. Now, who is the wisest man on this planet? Solomon. He is probably the most intelligent man in this planet. He knows about biology, philosophy, physics, math. He's also writing many psalms and poems. And he wrote at least 2 books in the Bible. Okay? Yet, at the end of his life, when he's getting old, he lost memory. He lost memory about God. And I'm going to warn you, today you're still young. I'm glad that you're still young. But one day, you're going to lose memory of God. But I'm going to give you 6 solutions to that. How do we get away from that problem? Okay? Solution to maintain our memory of God. There's many solutions, but we're going to focus only on Psalm 71, verse 5, all the way to 24. Now remember, in Psalm 71, the word prayer appeared to have 9 times. He prayed to God, and mostly he said, "Don't forsake me." That's his prayer. And nowadays, when we pray for many things. But he only focused on one thing, "Don't forsake me." So he remembered, the only prayer that he has is, "Do not forsake me." But the word praise in the original language, okay, appear 16 times in Psalm 71. So praise override prayer. So he had more praise than prayer. Let's focus on one. Praise God's power. We have to praise God's power, his power. Okay, the definition of praise is to declare, proclaim God's power in the public. It's almost like singing with harp, lyre, drum, and all kind of musical instrument. It's to declare and proclaim his power, his beauty, his attribute, his righteousness, and his kingdom to the public. That is what word praise means. And I want you to do that all the time, everywhere. Okay, to praise him. The psalmist praises. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Power of creation. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I will ever praise you. Now, how many of you actually praise God for the fact that he created you? How many of you did that? He actually created you. How many actually praise God for that? Can I see some hand? 1. Oh my God.
Thank you.
Boring. Okay. From now on, from this on, you praise God every single moment for the fact that he created you. Now look at your own hand. Look at your own feet. And look at your own body. How beautiful it is. Okay? He created you, and that's why. And he brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I want you to do that every single moment of your life, everywhere. Declare, proclaim his power of creation. He created you. Now, the only entity in this world have the ability to create from nothing into something. Who is that? God. No person in this world. You can believe in create evolution, all that, evolving. Okay. Now, there's a story about an argument between an evolutionist and a creationist. Let me tell you. Okay. An evolutionist said, "If you give me a pile of dust, okay, if you give me a pile, I can turn that pile of dust into a human being." That's what the evolutionist would say. And you know what the creationist said? You know what the creationist would say? You know what he said? He said, "I'm going to take away your pile of dust and see how you can evolve into a human being. Okay? I'm going to take it away from you. You have nothing, okay? I'm going to take this away, and can you create nothing into something? Can you do that? None of you. Not even the most intelligent physicist, his name is Albert Einstein, He said, creation is not science. Remember, creation. If you take the approach of science to understand creation, you're taking a wrong approach. You have to go through religion, God. Because can you reproduce creation? Can you reproduce creation? No. Because according to science, you have to reproduce it. The experiment, okay? And make trial and error. If you're not able to reproduce creation, then you cannot prove there's such thing as creation. And no one can go back thousand years ago to see how God created the world. No one can do that. Okay? So you must praise God for that. You must. And you should. Everywhere. Thank you. And every moment of your life. Praise. That brings back your memory about praise. Number two. The psalmist praises. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. The power of hope. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Now, this is extremely important. If you have to understand the Psalm 71, that you understand that hope is the second most important thing about praising God. Hope. Now, I actually work in the emergency department for over 30 years. And I have seen many people commit suicide. And how many of you ever contemplated suicide? Can I see some hand? Contemplate. Contemplate. You got one person. Okay? Anyone else? None of you guys? Praise God for that. You know why I praise God for that? Because almost every one of you has hope. Now, the only reason why that you want to contemplate suicide is it's hopeless. There's no hope. Absolutely no hope. If you find that there's no hope, then you will seriously attempt suicide. I'm telling you. So, what kind of hope that God gave you? And He gave you the hope of all beauty, all promise, all possession, all power in the spiritual life of Christian kingdom. That is the hope. And the hope in Jesus Christ is salvation. So the next one we're going to look at is salvation. Okay, let's read together. It's power of salvation. My mouth will praise your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. Well, how many of you know clearly the detail of salvation? How many of you, though I do not know its measure? So what that really means is, even though you don't know much about the salvation, you still praise about salvation. The word salvation means to deliver you from a dangerous place into a place of security. Okay, let me repeat what salvation means. Salvation means is to deliver you from a dangerous place into a place of security. Okay, now, the Lord Jesus came to this world is strictly for salvation. And we have to praise Him every moment, everywhere, and it's all day long, and we have to praise Him more and more. So in other words, the word praise is accumulative. That means that you have to keep on adding to it. You have to keep praising Him. Okay? According to the Bible, the reason why God created you and I is not for our own benefit, by the way. It's not for our own benefit. According to the Bible, the reason why you and I were created is to praise, is for the praise of God. It's for the glory and honor of our Heavenly Father. Okay? So when we pray, especially in the Lord's Prayer, at the end, you know what He said? For Thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Remember the Lord's Prayer? For Thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, right? And that is the reason of salvation. That He saved us is for His power, kingdom, and His glory. If you understand this particular reason why you praise God, thank you. You will remember in your memory that He is worthy for our praise. The next one. Let's read it, the power of provision. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I praise your marvelous deeds. Now, what is this marvelous deeds? You know what is marvelous deeds? No. Now, I remember when I was a 16-year-old, I remember I was a biker. I love cycling. I love cycling for long distance. Do you know that the Pearson International Airport was located, you know where? You know located where? Huh? Yeah, do you know which city located? Mississauga. But it's called Toronto Airport. Am I correct? Now, that's a misnomer. Am I correct? That's a misnomer. It shouldn't be called Toronto Airport. It should be called Mississauga. Am I correct? It should be called Mississauga International. Am I correct, right? Now, I hated that because the fact that I live in Toronto and I have to cycle, two hours to Mississauga to get to the airport. I hated that, okay? But it's called Toronto International Airport. And I remember I was riding about almost 40 to 50 kilometers per hour. It's like flying, right? Flying. I was flying. And suddenly, this truck, okay, in front of me, and the truck driver opened his door, okay? So do you think I can stop fast enough to avoid that door? Do you think I'm able to do that? By the way, how many actually of you ever opened a door and someone hit your door? How many of you ever did that? None of you guys? Okay, hey? When you're parking, but I'm talking about I'm actually cycling on my bike, okay? Now, which is about 40 clicks per hour. Pretty, very fast, okay? I was 16 years old. And then because of this speed, you know what happened to me? I was flying, like flying over the door. Oh my gosh. And I thought I'm gonna die. I know that. Because my head is, by the way, back then you don't need to wear a helmet, okay? Back then there's no such thing as helmet regulation. And my head was going towards the curb of the pavement, okay? And I thought I was gonna die, okay? But suddenly, I heard a voice. The voice coming after me, it said, "You should be fine, you should be fine." And for some reason, I was totally unconscious for 5 minutes. I woke up and it was only one bump. See this bump here on my head? One bump. It's only one bump on my head. And then I woke up, and of course my bike was total. My bike was total. But myself, I'm okay. I'm okay. That was the provision, the marvelous deed. Now think about every single moment how God, okay, have protected. Now He's not only creating you, but He's maintaining you. Now, if you feel your heartbeat, okay? He's maintaining a heartbeat about 60 to 100 beats per minute. That is provision, God's provision. And you gotta thank Him, you gotta praise Him. If you find that your heartbeat going over 100, you're in trouble, I'm telling you. If your heartbeat under 40, okay? You're in serious trouble, I'm telling you. Under 40, okay? If your heartbeat is under 40, you're in trouble. If your heartbeat is way over 100, you're in trouble. He maintains your heartbeat between 60 to 100. And think about your, but this morning I measured my blood pressure, 120 over 80, okay? If anything like over 160 or under 60, okay? The upper one, if you're over 160, or your lower one, it's lower than 60, you're in trouble. But he maintained. Now he said, no, I maintain that. I exercise every day. No, don't get me wrong. Even though you exercise every day, but your blood pressure will go wild sometimes. Your heart. So his provision, he's maintaining you. Now, just look at the orbit, the moon and the sun, everything. The Lord keep the moon in the orbit and keep our sun, the earth revolving around the sun in the orbit. That is the maintaining, his provision. If the orbit of the earth, okay, it's going off just by one tiny little one, okay, either you'll be too hot or too cold. And we're going to die. We're going to die. Okay, so the provision, he's not only creating you, but he's maintaining you. He's maintaining you, okay? All right? It's like getting married, okay? It's like a wife said, why should I marry my husband? And we're not just getting married, but my husband is maintaining me, and my wife is maintaining her husband. We each other maintaining each other, okay? Now, next one. The psalmist prays. Let's read it together. Power of resurrection, okay? 1, 2, 3. Though you have made me see troubles, you will restore my life again. I will praise you with a harp. I will praise you with a lyre. Okay? Do you know what a harp and a lyre means? Those are the musical instrument. How many of you actually play musical instrument? Can I see some hand? What are you playing? Thank you. What are you playing? Drum? Okay. Do you pray in the Sunday service? Or okay. I recommend you do that. Okay. This, by the way, the musical instrument, and you know, each and every one of you have one musical instrument in your body which you should always use. You know what is that? What is that? Thank you. Your lip, according, and it's the fruit of your lip, okay, that you're supposed to. Now, according to the Old Testament, is your lip is an offering. So when you come to the church, you're not only offering money to the Lord, but you're offering your, and I noticed that when this young lady was leading our singspiration, some of you are not actually offering that lip service at all, unfortunately. Okay, but here he said, I will restore, I will praise you with a harp, and I'll praise you with a lyre, and also with your lip, okay? Now, but the most important thing I want you to point out is, other than creation, other than salvation, other than provision, is the resurrection that we praise for. That we, God allow us, according to Hebrew chapter 9, verse 27, you and I, according to biology, according to God, you and I is going to face death. One day you and I are going to die. But don't worry. After we die, we will be resurrected. And Jesus Christ said, I am the life and the resurrection. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will rise again. And that is the reason why we praise our Lord Jesus Christ. It's resurrection. Number one, creation. And then we have the salvation, provision. And also we have the hope in Christ Jesus. This is the resurrection. The next one we're going to focus on. Power of redemption. Let's read it together. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I whom have redeemed. Do you know what the word redeem means? Have you ever used your McDonald's coupon to redeem some merchandise like Big Macs and all that? Have you ever used that? So you know what redeem means, eh? Exchange. And God sent Jesus Christ on this planet, okay, to redeem our life. Because we all deserve to die, to suffer judgment, and to go to eternal damnation. But God sent Jesus Christ, okay, to redeem us. That is the main point. I want to understand what it, now this is different from salvation. Redemption means that he has to pay a price, okay? Someone has already paid a price for you, okay? I remember one day I bought a Toyota Corolla for my son, and he woke up early in the morning and he saw a brand new car in a garage. He was surprised. Said, Dad, whose car is that? I said, that's belong to you, okay? Because he needed for to go to Humber College, and he didn't realize that I bought him a car. And said, how much is it? I said, it's already redeemed. The price is already paid. You don't need to pay a penny. He was so happy. But now he said, he want to pay me every single month for $100. I don't need it. Why? Because it's already paid for. And it's the same thing. When you go to heaven, he said, why would you go to heaven? Because your life, that's already paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And should we praise God? Yes, we should pray. Let's have a hand for our Lord for redemption, okay? Let's have a hand for him. And also your lip. Your lip will shout for joy because we were redeemed, okay? So I want you to memorize all this. When you're getting old, remember the six reason why you should praise God. Number one, now I'm going to test your memory. Number one, creation. Number two, hope. Number three, salvation. Number four, provision. Number five, resurrection. Number six, right? Redemption. Before I close, I'm going to give you a testimony of my own mother, okay? And she was 49 years old. She was 49 years old when she lost her husband. And that is my father. And I was only 8 years old, okay? And back then, she had seven kids. And the oldest one is only 18 years old. And I'm the youngest one, okay? Seven kids altogether. And all the relatives and friends came to the funeral and say, oh, how miserable you are. You are the only mother left. And you have to bring up all these seven kids all together. And the oldest one is only 17 years old. And the youngest is 8. And from then on, for 10 years, my mom and her lips is full of complaint. Okay? A lot of grumbling. Because you have to take so many kids all together. It's very not easy to, I mean, not to mention about 7 years. One kid is not, you being a mother, you understand. Being one kid is not easy, but you're talking about seven kids, okay? She was grumbling, complaining. She was indulged in gambling. She loved mahjong. Playing mahjong, you know? How many play mahjong? Love gambling. And she loved horse racing. Like, woodbine, horse racing. And she loved smoking, you know? Tobacco. She indulged in all his pleasure. And she also went to the temple, you know, those Chinese temple, to ask God, her God, okay, to ask her God for favor, blessing, every single day. But one day, I asked my pastor, my minister, Pastor, can you come to my home and share the salvation of Jesus to her? And I want her to believe in Christ, okay? And then my pastor ministered to her, and she actually believed in Christ on that particular day. That was 1979 when she believed in Christ. And ever since then, listen very carefully, within three years, she turned her prayer to her own God, to the praise to this Heavenly Father. Prayer to her own God, okay? She's no longer grumbling. She's no longer complaining. She's no longer badgering about her own misery. Okay? She praised this Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she actually quit smoking within 3 years. She quit mahjong within 5 years. And she quit all the gambling within 10 years. Now remember, even a Christian take that long to quit gambling. Gambling is, I am into a gambling fellowship. It took a long time to quit gambling. Okay? And then I remember when she was 74 years old, she suffered a major stomach ulcer. She had to go through a major surgery. And before she entered the operating room, three words she said, okay? Praise the Lord. She didn't say a word. Praise the Lord. And after she came back in the recovery room, and she woke up from the anesthesia, from the doctor, she woke up, the first three words to say, praise the Lord. And we have seven of us, brothers and sisters, and we included my brother-in-law, okay, they married then. Say, praise the Lord. We are all amazed. A 74-year-old lady, she didn't have a word of complaint. And then, 15 years ago, before she passed away from her deathbed, okay, only three words coming out from her mouth. Then she took her last breath and she died peacefully. Three words. We all remember. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you because we still have memory of you. We are afraid, we're so concerned that when we're getting old, we forget about you, just like Solomon. And Solomon being the wisest, most intelligent man in the world, but he forgot about you. We don't want to follow his example. And we want to remember every single reason why we should praise you. We praise you because you have created us. We praise you because you are our hope. We praise you because you are our salvation. We praise you because you provide everything for us. You are our provision. We praise you because you are our resurrection. Last but not the least, we praise you because you are our redemption. May you bless each one of us. Just like our brother said, we want to praise you everywhere, every moment, with harp, with lyre, and also with our lip. We want to offer this as a service unto you. May your name be glorified. May your name be honored in this congregation. May each and every one of us in the Mississauga Christ Life Community Church be a place of praise unto you. May you turn our prayer into praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.